everybody, and welcome back to the Like Mother, Like Daughter podcast. I'm Jamie, the mother.
And I'm Lauren, the daughter. We're so glad to be back, as always, with another episode for you all. But this time, we're not together.
Right? We're separated, but we're seeing each other on a Zoom. You look pretty great.
Oh, thanks. Do I look different than the last time you saw me, like 5 days ago?
You know what? You look pretty similar. I love the Rock Chalk Jayhawk sweatshirt that you're wearing.
Thank you. It is actually a hand-me-down property of one Max Dylan Smith. I'm glad he gives me all of his Kansas clothes because he probably feels embarrassed to wear them at his school. So got some free clothes. Can't complain. I like this one. I think it's kind of like cute.
Yeah, that one I bought for him when we toured Kansas. So maybe it's like not a lucky sweatshirt because he didn't decide to go there.
I wear it a lot, so maybe I have bad luck. I don't know. But yeah, anyways, it's crazy. You know, we're going to be only doing these Zoom episodes for a little while longer because I'm going to be coming home like very soon, less than like, I don't know, probably like 6 weeks or so, which is crazy.
That is crazy. I can't believe it. Wow, this year is really flying by.
Flying by. All right, so let's start with our lights of the week. Do you want to go first with your low light of the week?
Yeah, my low light of the week happens to be last Monday when you left. It was such a crazy thing because I was planning on coming home, having lunch with you, and it was like a rainy day, and the weather forecast was making like the travel back to school a little bit nerve-wracking. So I happened to have been on a call with somebody, and I kept getting these text messages saying, come home, otherwise I won't get to say goodbye to you, basically. And I was like, oh boy. So we didn't even really get the traditional, like, good goodbye in.
I know. It was so unfortunate, like, because I ended up leaving, like, 2 or so hours earlier than I was supposed to. So we kind of had to, like, rush and get everything together. And you came home, like, right in the nick of time, and I, like, hugged you in the driveway. Like, I didn't even get to really say goodbye, which was unfortunate, but I'm glad we left earlier because the weather was like not the best. So I think it was for the best, but yeah, that was sad.
It was a little bit of a sad thing, and I didn't get my long good goodbye. But actually, on the positive note, I didn't bawl my eyes out either, which is pretty impressive. You know, good. usually I'm
maybe just because you were not prepared, so it just was too quick of a turnaround.
totally. I'm usually hiding back the tears. And then another low, of course, was that someone really close to us lost somebody that was, you know, I think that even though you know somebody's ill and one day their life is going to be taken too soon, it's still the shock of it and how, you know, just precious life is and cherishing the time that you have with the people that you love. And so we're sending out condolences to those people. We're very sorry for your loss, and hold on to your memories really close and tight.
For sure. Yeah, I would definitely echo that. It is never as easy, and I just can't even imagine, especially for those who lost a parent. It's just so sad. But yeah, we're sending you love. You know who you are. Mwah, mwah.
Okay. What about you? I hate to like segue so quickly, but really our thoughts are with you, and I will be attending the funeral in some way, maybe over Zoom tomorrow and then paying a condolence call. But on your medium or your low, what's your low, Laura?
So yeah, my low besides that, my additional low is just like, I don't know, this week has felt like a little weird. Like, I don't want to call it like I've been super anxious, because I don't know if that's the correct term. I think it's more just like, I don't know, I've been feeling like confused lately. Like, little decisions are like really hard for me for some reason. I'm just feeling like unsure. I'm not like, I don't know how to explain it. And it's not in like, in terms of like normal things that I struggle with. Like, it's very just kind of little things, stupid things. Something I kind of like actually started talking about this with my therapist recently, and something I definitely want to like explore more, just because it's something that I've struggle with, like, in terms of multiple aspects of my life. And yeah, like, I don't really know exactly where I'm, like, going with this, but I think, well, it's actually interesting. I was, like, feeling this way, and I was listening to an episode of this podcast that I listen to every so often. It's called Mood with Lauren Elizabeth, and she was expressing, like, a similar thing, and then she was saying how, like, because she's learned to deal with her, like, anxiety and, like, sad periods of time and just, like, struggles, these periods for her, like, have kind of been different because she, like, knows how to cope with them a lot easier and, like, what tools and skills that or things she needs to do to, like, get out of it or all of that. And I don't, like, remember exactly what she said. I was listening to it this morning, and I wish I, like, wrote down more word for word. But it was basically just – she was just saying, like, that these times – like, those instances are, like – like, it's, like, okay that she's feeling like this, and, like, they're also coupled with a lot of, like, happy and exciting things, so just trying not to overthink it, and just, like, the feelings are what they are, and, like, not to put too much pressure on yourself to, like, move through it so quickly, and I think it was just a very mature, like, way to think about it. I wish I, like, really remembered exactly, but... yeah, that was the gist. If you want to listen to it, I definitely recommend it, that episode that she just came out with.
All right. So there's really nothing you could say. It's just more, I don't even know, indecisiveness and just the stress that goes along with that.
Yeah. I think also, like, learning, I'm struggling to, like, trust my intuition and, like, my own feelings. I think I'm constantly looking for outside validation, not even about, like, myself, like, oh, how I look or whatever it is. It's more, like, silly things or big things. Like, it kind of depends. Like, there's been a lot of things I've been, like, just not sure about. And, like, I think the more I ask for, like, everyone's opinion, or I don't even know if I'm, like, always asking people's opinion. It's more just, like, I get people's opinions, and I think it can be confusing when they're conflicting, and just trying to learn how to trust my own self and what's best for me, and, like, also knowing that, like, sometimes what happens to you, like, isn't always the greatest, but, like, you learn from it, and, like, sometimes you have to make a mistake to learn.
I think we talked about that. Grow through what you go through.
Yeah, that too. But I think just more like, what movie is it? Oh no, it's not a movie. It's from How I Met Your Mother, and, like, Robin and Ted were, like, thinking about getting back together, and they're like, or no, I think it was, like, Lily, I don't know, it was in season one, where they were like, it's a mistake, and, like, sometimes you have to make mistakes, learn it's a mistake, and blah, blah, blah. It was this whole, like, monologue that I think it was Lily when she was, like, contemplating. Spoiler, if she should, like, break up with Marshall and do the art fellowship. I feel like I can spoil it because that show's been out for so long, and that was Lily from season one. But, yeah, it kind of, like, kind of reminded me of that, like, I don't know, and I think I'm just learning. Like, for example, today I was on the phone with Dad because I, like, couldn't decide if I should, like, pick up this Bromley shift or not. And, like, it was such a dumb decision, but, like, it was just – I was so unsure. And, like, I need to work on what my intuition says and how to follow through with it. Anyway, that was a really long spiel, but
– I know, but, I mean, I think this is going to be something that you're going to be working on, unfortunately, for the remainder of your days. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not just saying there are times where I volunteer for too much, and then I have too much on my plate, and, like, why did – you know, I could have said no, should have said no, you know, kind of thing. And
should have said no.
Yep. And sometimes, you know, I don't know. I think I can relate to what you're saying thoroughly throughout that whole conversation, trusting yourself, because sometimes you know what's right deep down, but sometimes you don't always follow that. And it's just – I don't know. I feel like I do that all the time. So I wish you to change that and make it better, and maybe you'll be better at it. But yeah,
I definitely agree. I was actually having a conversation with my friend, shout out Jake Kamens, today about it. And, like, we were kind of, like, comparing our personalities, because I'm much more of a thinker and he's much more of, like, a doer. And, like, I don't think either is, like, right or wrong, because I think there's positive and negative qualities to, like, both. And we're kind of, like, throwing in astrology in there, but, like, I don't need to go down that whole rabbit hole, but, like, I just think it's interesting, like, for me, like, decisions are so, like, such a big deal sometimes. And, like, for him, he's like, I don't even call them decisions. I just do things. So it's just interesting, like, how people are just – everyone's brains work so differently. You know, everyone has their own things that they have to deal with. And, like, everyone works through things so differently. I feel like we could talk about – that could have been this week's episode topic, honestly. Sure.
That could have been. All right, so I'm going to go into the mediums for the sake of time. So my medium, I don't even really have a medium because I don't even know that I have a high. So I feel I spent a lot of time this past week working and doing things and then used the weekend to like recover, but I even worked today. So it's like, I feel like there's a lot going on and I didn't really have like, I don't know. It's just kind of a, didn't really have like a highlight to it because it was just like go, 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 go. And I spent Friday night and Saturday like relaxing. So just a lot of work. Work equals, you know, stress sometimes. So I had all of that going on. That's kind of how I feel. So it's really not a great medium either, but I can't wait to hear yours.
I mean, mine is like, I don't know why you can't wait so much. Mine is like very similar, like not much to share. Just like, I guess like a medium would just be like, just hanging out with like my roommate and my friends throughout the week, just like nothing super exciting, but just like spending time with people and like taking opportunities to like just relax, whether that be with like others or just myself. Kind of just same thing as you. Like, I feel like we've had like really like good weeks the last couple weeks, and it's not that like this week was a bad week. It just like wasn't as good. Like, it just was like fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, I went to visit you and Max, and then, like, then you came home last weekend. I don't know if it was that was
the
right order.
You went to the conference.
Right. I might have, like, something in between, but I had so much, like, and they were all, like, positive and fun, and these just this week was just, like, chill. So I guess, like, it's not that bad. I mean, it wasn't like I had so many lows or whatever, but I didn't really have that many exciting highs. So,
right,
you know, it was just relaxing Friday night and Saturday and watching some Netflix things and you know, enjoying time with dad. So that was my highlight.
Yeah. I would say like, I guess my high honestly was I had like a date event this week and like, that was fun. I took like two of my friends from high school, that I've never taken to like a sorority thing of mine before, just cause like I'm really close to them, but like, I didn't know like if they would want to go. Cause like, I didn't know how many people they would know. So, and we had the opportunity to take like more than one date. So I was like, oh, it'd be fun to just take two people. And then like, it would be easier and like, it would be more fun that way. So that's what I did. I took my friends, Hannah and Kyle, who are also twins too. I think we had a lot of fun. It was just like a good time. Like it wasn't like the best night of my life, but it was fun. Like, you know, it was a good time. It was a themed like decades event. And like, I liked my outfit and yeah, it was fun.
Great, awesome. Okay, well, those are our lights, kind of chill weekend and weeks. Hopefully we'll have some more exciting things that go on this week. I don't know, that would be great. Okay, so it's time to kind of get into the main body of the podcast, and we thought we would go back to something we did in an earlier episode and kind of look at a word and kind of just go off on the topic of what that word means, positive, negative, just, you know, whatever it means to us. So we've chosen the word communication for this week. And, you know, I'm thinking about it in terms, I mean, I think communication is just so important. Like, you know, we're communicating on this podcast and we share a whole lot. You know, I'm sure there are things that we don't share because we can't share everything, and nor does everybody want to listen to everything. But it's, you know, there's a lot to it in terms of a good way to communicate, a more challenging way to communicate. I consider myself just a pretty, I hope to be a good listener. I think I'm a good sharer. But sometimes when it's a difficult topic or something that I'm anticipating it causing stress or anxiety, it makes it really challenging to communicate. And, you know, that's something I'm trying to work on. I don't like to have friction or tension or say the wrong thing, because just in my nature is to be like a people pleaser kind of a person. And I try to avoid conflict. So that is something that I need to work on a little bit. And sometimes when I do have the conversations that I need to have, oftentimes it's never as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I build it up to be so stressful in my head. And sometimes it's never, you know, what I thought it was going to be. But I've been analyzing it a lot lately in terms of the ways that people communicate and how some of the avenues to communicate, like through texting or those kinds of things, make it extra challenging. And can I comment? She's like retweeting and what do you call it? Snapping. Snapping is like a thing for the sororities. Those of you
that... No, the snaps is like, that's like, I feel like that's universal. I agree. This is like the pro dittos of the sorority.
Okay. So
you can't see what I'm doing, but people who are wearing SDTU would know what I'm talking about. Right.
So some of it, like a snapping when it's like, yeah, I agree with you. It's like, I totally agree. I can't, you know.
I feel like we did the snaps in BBYO. I feel like that's where I started doing it. But now I feel like a lot of people do that. Like,
yeah.
Like, anyway, not the point.
Yeah. So anyway, it's, there's some things that like happen in this generation. And now, you know, adults do it too now, because it's a quicker form of communicating and you don't necessarily have to have that awkward feeling of reaching out to somebody. And so that can be good and bad. And, you know, I think we'll talk a little bit about that too. So it's a little bit of an introduction. Do you have something to add to what I've said so far, or, you know?
No, I think we can just really dive in here, because this is like something that I'm personally very like passionate, I don't think is like the right word, but it's a topic that very much like is important to me, because I think that communication is like, I mean, communication is it's everything. And I think it's just like really important to have good communication skills. And like, I feel like, I don't know, it's something I'm always working on, and like, I'm not the best at it, I will admit also, but I think that I've learned like when it's appropriate to use my like, want to like communicate and use skills, and like when I don't need to. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, I really would want to. I think we can talk about like a lot of other stuff, but for me, like the texting and like the use of technology and like how that's affected communication is something that I personally like have a lot to say about.
Yeah, I mean, I think like because so you and Max, I believe like we gave you guys cell phones at like fifth grade.
Yeah, I actually was just talking about this when I was at having dinner with Melissa and Kyle yesterday, that we were talking about when we all got phones. And I know it was the beginning of fifth grade, and because that was right after Max had gotten diagnosed with diabetes, and you were like, oh, Max should get a phone so that if he needs someone, he could call you. And then you're like, well, I guess Laura needs to have one too. Meanwhile, I was the one having like tantrums because I wanted a phone. So
she wanted a phone since like maybe first or second grade. And we did get them at fifth grade. So
I think that was a fair time. Like, I didn't think you needed to give me one earlier. Like, I'm glad you didn't, but I think any later I would have been really upset.
Right. So now you've been able to communicate in that way, I would say roughly for 10 or 11 years, right?
Like most of my life, I
would
say.
More than half of your life. Yeah. So, I mean, what are the positives? You know, I think texting can be a pretty decent way to communicate. Multiple people can be on that chain. So like our family, we have our Bam Bam group text. I think most families do. They have some kind of a communication. It's like a running thread of, you know, everything.
Mm-hmm. Bam Bam has been going strong for a long time.
It's popping. And I mean, I love going back and like looking at different things and the photos that are in there and all that. So I think that in terms of getting your message out to like a few people in a quick period of time, it's helpful. I know that sometimes like it gets frustrating for people because I'm not always looking at things. And then there'll be things up in the group and like not everyone sees it. And I can own that. I know that that's not great. However, I am, you know, like typically when that happens, it's mostly because I'm at work doing something else. It's not like when I'm sitting like all night long, I could be texting in a group text on the couch and I'd be great at communicating because everybody is my priority. But when I'm like at an event or working, I miss something. So like I just missed some things today because I was at a work event for like 4 hours and there was a whole bunch of things and like funny, cute things and I got to go backwards and do it. But like once you've already opened, it's like one thing I wish we could do on the phones is like reset it as an unopened text.
Because well, if there's a way you can open it without saying it's like without doing that.
Okay. Well,
it's
maybe
like you have to hold it down. You have to hold it down. I can show you. It's
okay. Cause that would be a good strategy for me because oftentimes like once I've looked at it, then I might, right. And I might not go back to see like, oh, this really good part of it that I missed. Cause sometimes it just keeps going. Now I think it's good if you have a group of people that you're good at communicating with, like our family, the four of us, really tend to be very good communicators with each other. We are well informed about what's going on in each other's lives, etc. The group texts that sometime I've seen that you have been in, and even Max, like sometimes there's people who are more vocal in it, or you'll like, I know that maybe you'll, let's say, put out something like, hey, what does somebody want to get together? And nobody responds. And I know that can be frustrating because like you're waiting for somebody to respond and nobody wants to be the first one.
I think the most annoying part is like the fact that like who isn't on their phone? Like everyone has their phone on them all the time. And so like I know that you're on your phone. Like I know you saw the text. So like the least you could do is respond. And like, yeah, like you said, like it's like diffusion. It's like the whole like psych term, like diffusion of responsibility, like that. You know that study with the girl who like was murdered? Well, it wasn't the study; it actually happened, and then like no one like helped her. You know, Kitty Genovese. You know what I'm talking about? That's what a lot of people do. But it's that same phenomenon. Like no one wants to be the first one to say something, and like for me, I like could give two shits, especially like over text. Like for me, like I have a lot more trouble like speaking up in a person, like in person setting. Like I don't always want to be the first to like, speak up, but over text, like. Who cares? It goes so far away. Like, no one will remember that you were the first one to do something. And, like, I mean, I know it happened to me a lot in high school where I'd be like, does anyone want to hang out? And then, like, 3 hours later, it's already 8 o'clock. And then they're like, oh, let's hang out. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't really want to anymore. Like, we could have figured this out. And then it's like, where should we go? I don't care. Whatever. It's just back and forth. Like, someone make a decision. Like, I have that issue with the texting, and then I have the complete opposite issue where people use texting as a way to, like, hide behind their phone and, like, have to deal with a confrontational situation, and, like, it's not delivered correctly because it is over text. So, like, I have, like, two sides of the spectrum, like, lack of confrontation and over confrontation. I don't think that's even
okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think, like, the hardest part about texting is that you don't have their tone.
Right. And I think that's email. That can also be an email too.
For sure. Yeah. Any form of like virtual communication, even like a phone call or FaceTime sometimes is tricky. Like obviously that's like the best, like FaceTime is probably the best. But you're just never going to be able to match someone as you would like in a face-to-face situation, like seeing their body language And that's why, like, COVID was such a hard time for a lot of students because they couldn't learn effectively in, like, a virtual setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that in terms – you brought up something, like, in terms of the difference between emailing and calling someone. So oftentimes when I have, like, a family for let's say, my job for work at camp, like, sometimes it's just easier to pick up the phone and have that conversation. Versus putting all the thoughts down on paper and having the email exchange back and forth, it would probably be quicker to give all the information for me sometimes and more of a meaningful exchange versus connecting with them over email. And so there are a lot of times I think that through and I'm like, you know what, I might as well just give these people a call. Yeah.
Yeah, and like kind of going off on that, like I know, like, I've had a lot of conversations with, like, teachers and, like, authorities, not the right word, like, adults and just, like, about, like, your digital footprint and how, like, you should never post anything on your social media that is, like, bad or whatever. But I think the same goes for, like, even just texting, because those words are there forever. And, like, think about how easy it is. I know you've been in a situation like this where it's just so easy to screenshot what you said with someone or what someone said to you and send it. And, like, now that information is there forever. And, like, you, like you're saying with, like, a family situation, like, it's easier to just call them because you're not held to, like, the same, like, you're not held bound to the words because, like, unless your conversation's, like, voice recorded or something. But it's, like, so easy to – and I get why it's easy to text. Like, I get that it's easier to just text someone how you feel. But, like, it would be so much easier to work it through if you could just talk about it in person. But, like, the culture we live in at this point, like, that gives me the biggest pit in the world to, like, have to go knock on someone's door and talk to them. Like, I – and, like, I've had situations before, like, where people are texting me something and, like, I think it's easier to just go talk to them. But I don't want to do that because they're not willing to do that with me. So, like, why am I going to put myself out there, you know? It's really tricky. It's, like, the world we live in. And I've said it a million times that, like, I wish I did not grow up in this era. Like, I think I would have thrived in, like, the 70s and the 80s.
Well, I do think that, like, some of the behaviors and, like you said, hiding behind your phone, like, if there was something that you needed to say, it's always just better to, like, sometimes having the hard conversation, but in a format where everybody is just, like, themselves versus hiding behind the phone. It just feels so much better, and you feel like somebody actually cares and took the time and to connect with you that way versus just, like, digitally. So it just doesn't seem as healthy and as, I don't know, it seems like these walls are put up and it's uncomfortable. And I think that it's really important. That's why one of the biggest things that, that we did a few summers ago, even though there was some resistance, was ask every staff member to turn in their phones in the morning when our camp day begins, and we keep those phones inside, locked away from the counselors and staff throughout the day, so that people can really make the kids and the experience and the communication and all of that the focus. And I think that was a very big deal in terms of teens and the, you know, COVID has really been challenging on people and the after effects of not being in person for that year and a half or whatever it was. For some people was challenging, and so they need to know how to meet someone, say hi, introduce yourself, connect with somebody. And having that those phones away has made it very that unplugged format is very healthy for people right now. And I wish we could, you know, you can't go backwards, but I know that it's important now to find ways to teach people communication and how to do it, because I don't think it's really happening.
It's not happening at all. I think kids do not know how to advocate for themselves. I think a lot of teenagers and people my age don't know how to advocate for themselves. And, like, I feel like that's something you really taught Max and I growing up was, like, if we have a problem, like, whether it be in school or with a friend, like, you made us call up and make our own play dates, like, way younger than a lot of my friends' parents did. And, like, if we had an issue with, like, an assignment in school, like, you made us, like, email our teacher or go in early and ask them or whatever it was. And I think that those are skills that, like, people do not have today. Like, I have seen it a lot. Like, you said, like, we're on the topic of camp with my CITs, like, my counselors in training that are, like, 8th through 10th grade. Like, a lot of them, I hear from the grapevine that they're having an issue with their counselors or their campers, but they don't come to me and tell me personally. So it's like, I don't want to, like, assume or, like, step on anyone's toes. And, like, I remember there was one situation where one of the girls, like, came out to me and was like, she would never tell you, but, like, she's having a really bad time. And, like, please don't tell her that I said anything, 'cause she'll be really upset. But it's like, I was, like, happy that this girl came forward and, like, so I could try to help the other girl. Like, I think it's just sad. And like, I would like to say that I'm a very approachable person. So like, if they're not able to do that with me, who's like a 21-year-old girl, like how are they going to do it with their peers or teachers or people that matter like a lot more than like I do, you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
well, I just remember, I remember when you were a CIT and I was not even at that location any longer. Mm-hmm. And, I said to you, you should go speak to whoever was, I think Tracy, and kind of share with her what you were going through. And I didn't call and do it for you. And that talk about like getting you to build those skills. It wasn't like, I'm not saying it because I'm so great to whatever, but it was important for you to have those skills and be able to advocate for yourself, like you said. It doesn't, you know, like, okay, so you know that you did it once. You know that you did, you could do it again. And it, and you ended up using that same conversation, but in a different thing, when you were applying to be on staff at the next camp that you went to, and you spoke to the camp director. And even though I was there at the time, I wanted you to say to Terry, like, this is what I'm hoping for, however you said it, because you wanted to be in a different age group and you had, you know, valid experiences and reasons why and whatnot. And I think like those are the skills that are important to have, because I'm not going to be able to walk through life with you hand in hand the whole time, and you're going to have to do it for yourself. And I think, listen, like when I was a teenager and I had a job and I had to call myself out if I was missing for a day, my parents didn't call the work of employment for me. I was 15 or 16 or 17 or whatever, and I had to reach out. And in those days, there was no email and there was no texting, whatever. And I had to call the person who was my supervisor and explain the situation or what was going on. And that is a skill, because it's hard to have those conversations sometimes, but the more that you do it, the more that you practice doing it, the better that you are at it. And so I think that that's why.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I agree that, like, I think anything like that's nerve wracking for you, like the more you do it, the easier it gets. And I know that in the past, when it comes to like confrontation or sharing how I feel, like I've avoided it, and it's not the best. It's something I definitely want to work on. But I've also learned, like I was saying a lot earlier, like depending on the situation, like it's not really worth it for me in some ways too. Like, I think it really depends on like what the situation is, who the people are, like how much you value them as people and like want to continue a relationship with them. But I think that like, especially now that I'm like graduating college and I'm moving into like a different kind of phase in my life, like I do want to work on it more and like feel more self-assured. Cause I think like now that I'm like going to be like a post-grad, like really nothing matters, like except what I want to matter, you know?
I always say like, there's the good. I think when we talked about social media on those episodes, that like, we think that there's good in the fact that there's these, you know, texting is an avenue to communicate, but knowing when is the best way or what method you're going to communicate for what situation and to get your point across, is a smart thing to consider. Not everything has to be done on a text message.
I was just going to say, like, just to jump in, like, really fast before you finish that thought. Like, the thing about texting is, like, there's also just so many unspoken rules and, like, things that, like, exist within this space that, like, really affect the way that the message is perceived. Like, a period, like, means that you're, like, being mean. You know,
that's so funny because I'm always putting punctuation in my text. So you'd have to evaluate and
see.
Well,
it depends. But like, if you're like, hi, period, like, like, it really depends on what you're saying. But like, also, like, I remember I've told you a bunch of times and you still haven't fixed it. But like, the phrase, okay, sounds really mean over text. And like, I'm telling you this not because, now I know that you're not trying to be mean. Like, you're just talking to me and we're like figuring something out. But like, to most people, like, I would never write that to them unless I was mad at them. Mm-hmm. I would write okay, like, O-K-A-Y, like, all the way through, or, like, I wouldn't
say
that.
So only
okay, like, okay sounds like I'm sure everyone listening that is around my age and like knows that would like back me up on that.
Okay, so you're saying to like, you know, I'm never meaning it like okay, like it's never
meant like no, it's like okay.
Okay, but it never is. So if now I have to try to work on using the word, the letters okay, but if I spelled it out, okay, it would be a totally different tone for you.
Maybe, but also just like adding on like, okay, sounds good, or like, I don't know. It just, I'm a firm believer, like it's a thing. Like I'm not just, I know I'm like fixating on this like one word, but it's, that kind of goes like around like anything, like the way like people can manipulate anything to make their message clearer. And you can do that, especially with a text, because you have the power to like proofread it or fix it before you send it. Like when you're talking, like it just rolls off the tongue, whatever you say. I mean, you can think about what you want
to
say before you
say it. Right. But if I'm talking to you and I said, okay, that's like, I'm such a wordy person in talking. And I think in texting, I'm not as wordy. Mm-hmm. Because I don't really, it's not my main form of communication. I mean, maybe it is in certain situations, but it's certainly like I would never have known. Like usually in an email, you know, there's like this whole beginning warm up, like, hi, how are you doing? Well. I hope all is well, you know, whatnot. Hope you are staying safe and healthy during this time. And then like the next thing is like the request or whatever that you need from somebody, or like the whatever you're doing in that, you know, and then the ending, you chime in with a cute like ending. So I don't know all of the different texting rules.
Like I think like in the same way, like texting is obviously shorthand email kind of, like you still need like the fluff in some way, like in certain things.
All right. I'm going to work on it. And I know that you said that I was going to work.
I use periods. It's just like the period at the very, at a very end of a text, like sounds mean. Like I'm just trying to.
What
like,
if you then throw an emoji on? Is that going to make it better?
Maybe that would make it better. I mean, it's all technical. It's all just like what you're saying and how you say it. But yeah, like
that's just what it's like to grow up in 2021, and it fucking sucks. Sorry, excuse my language. Ooh. But
it's true. Like, just imagine how my life would be if I didn't have my phone. I mean, it'd be like harder in some ways, but like, you know, just it'd be nice.
Well, I'm gonna start using more emojis after I say the word okay. And like, honestly,
KK is a good thing. KK sounds nicer than okay.
All right. I'm going to work on that. But it's so funny because I don't know if I've offended other people. And I'm sure you're not like really offended because you know me and I'm your mom.
I'm not offended because I know how you're not trying. Like, I'm just trying to tell you how maybe someone else wouldn't, how I would see it if it wasn't you sending it to me. If it was somebody else.
I think you're trying to be helpful, but I didn't even realize that. I mean, I did. You said it once, but now it's like still obviously hasn't changed. So, and you said, like you said, I'm going to work on it. So now I have a couple more tools. So I think I'm going to sum it up by saying KK is better. OKAY is okay. And throwing in a couple emojis, but no periods is a really good thing.
We'll practice.
Look, this is the like mother, like daughter podcast. So my generation, I'm wondering if any of you would have felt that way if I wrote okay on yours. I don't know.
We'll have to see. But yeah, I think like enough of like, I'm like, or like all these technicalities and like things aside, I just think like, I know we've talked a lot about like texting and that kind of way, but I just think communication in general, like it can be tough, and like no one's going to be perfect at it. I think if you're still working on it, like at your age, like I think it's just something everyone's always going to be working on. And I think that it's important though, that if it's someone that you really care about, that you need to have healthy communication and open communication with them.
What are some of the other check-ins that you feel would be healthy to do? Like, so, I don't know, if you know, you ask someone, how are you doing today? Sometimes, like, for most of the people that you really care about, you really do care about how they're doing, you know?
But that question, like, I feel like is such a formality, and, like, it doesn't give you a real answer. You just say, oh, I'm good. I'm fine.
Right.
Like, it needs to be more specific. Like, tell me one good thing that happened to you today, or, like, oh, I see that you're really struggling. Like, what can I do to make things easier on you? Like, really just having check-ins with people. I think on the flip side, for someone that you really care about and trust and, like, feel like would be of help to you, like, don't be afraid to really share how you're feeling or asking for help, because they wouldn't – you would hope that they wouldn't be asking if they didn't care. And I think we a lot as humans, like, try not to ask for help because we want to try to do everything ourselves, or, like, we don't want to rock the boat, so we don't really share how we feel. But if you don't do those things, you're not going to get to where you need to be and get to a place that's better for you. So I think just really being open and vulnerable is, like, the only way that you're gonna make it through and make progress in life, you know? Like, nothing – what's that quote? It's, like, nothing good comes from comfort zones or something.
Oh, yeah. Is that it? I like that.
I don't know. Something like that. I feel like we have a lot of quotes on our podcast, but we don't always know, like, what they are.
Well, I know that you, like, through challenges, you know, you become stronger. So different things mm-hmm. that are challenging you make you stronger. Like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Thank you, Kelly Clarkson. But I think so also – you know, with that vulnerability, making those I statements, I feel that's helpful when you're having a challenging conversation.
Definitely. I statements. I forgot about that. That's a good one to share.
Yeah. Any other things that you can think about? Checking in with people. Sometimes I get very, like, stressed because I'm sure somebody's going through, and, like, I don't know always the easiest – not the easy, the right things to say sometimes mm-hmm. when somebody's going through something, or there's somebody that has had a loss or is not doing well, is, you know, sometimes it's, and then I've have guilt feelings about, like, not reaching out enough.
Yeah. I think in that case, just asking what you need from them. Like, do you need advice? Do you need just someone to listen and, like, nod their head? Like, I think it depends, but I think, like, asking them is the best way to, like, show your support. If someone is struggling, I don't know if that is a good thing to say.
Yeah. So, like, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Or what do you need from me at this time would be a good thing. Yeah.
For sure.
Sometimes it's easier to, like, avoid it, and that's just not – doesn't make me feel good either.
Definitely not. Yeah. I think there's no such thing as, like, too much communicating. Like, I'd rather share – well, I guess that's not true. But I think in general, like, always err on the side of, like, more than less, because, like, if you don't share how you feel, like, you're not going to get anywhere.
Agreed.
So I think, you know, being careful with what you're saying, but making sure that what is being said is, like, exactly in what you need.
I love that. So you're so wise.
Oh, stop.
Nice, don't you think? Isn't it nice to have a 21-year-old that you could lean on for help and support and great conversation?
Well, isn't it nice to have a mom who you can also do that with, and who's trendy and cool and wants to do a podcast with you?
I love that. I love that. Well, this was a really good meaty topic.
I agree. I think there's a lot to unpack with this one.
Lots to unpack. I mean, you know, so I think we're kind of saying that there's really no downside, and that we're looking for, you know, the best ways to converse and communicate and be out there and making connections with other people. Because to us, that's really important.
Amen, sister.
Love it. All right. So let's slide on over into the what we're into is for the week. Slide on over.
Okay, I'll start this week. So I was doing between, like, two different things, but I think I might share that one next week, just because this was, like, a little earlier in the week. But what I'm into is that my roommate and I started watching My Unorthodox Life on Netflix. I know we're a little late to the party because it came out like a few months ago and was like the big talk of the town then. But I know as like someone who's Jewish, like I was a little honestly hesitant to watch it because I didn't want it to be like offensive in any way, or like, I don't know, I'd heard like some talk that some people didn't think it was like representing the community the best. So I was a little hesitant to watch it, but I was also very like intrigued, and like I love a good reality show, as we all know. So I feel like there was no reason really not to watch it. And let me tell you, like, I could not stop watching it. Well, I think part of the problem was that every episode ended on like a cliffhanger, so you like had to see what would happen next. But, like, didn't want to turn it off. But I just like found their life story like so fascinating. Especially as someone who's Jewish but not like super religious, and like kind of just knowing some like stereotypes or some things about like people that are Orthodox, it was nice to kind of get a different kind of perspective into that life. And I just think like they're just those girls, like those two sisters are like so cool, and like I want to be their friend. And like the mom is like, I mean, she's got her thing, and like she's probably not everyone's cup of tea, but like I think she's very an interesting lady, and I like applaud her for like doing what she thought was best for her. And like now she's like super wealthy and has a super amazing company, and like she did that all at like 40 something years old. So it's like kind of the message, like it's never too late, and like if you're in a situation that is not serving you, like you should make it different for yourself.
It's really
I was going to say, I'm just, the last thing, I'm almost done, so I'm, like, sad that I'm going to be finished with it. But it's really good, and I do recommend watching it.
So I started watching it, too. I think we're on episode 4 over here. The middle daughter, so, like, the second, I think she's the, Miriam. Okay. So if mom didn't leave that culture, her life would be so different, right?
Yeah.
Because now she's, like, coming out, or thinks she might be.
Well, she probably wouldn't have explored that side of herself had she not left with her mom, or like she would have kind of like rebelled and like, I don't know. I love her. I think she's like, I would say my personality is probably more like Batsheva, and like I think she's so pretty and cool, and like her and her husband are cute and like all of that. But I think like Miriam, like she's so inspiring to me. Like she's outspoken, she's determined, like she's so smart. I mean, like it's crazy when you realize that none of these people had like a secular, like normal education. Like they literally, their school was like Torah study, and like she's like a computer science person, coder. Yeah,
I know.
And, like, how did she figure that out? She must be like innately very smart.
Yeah, I really like her as a character.
And I was like stalking their Instagrams, and like they're just cool.
Yeah, they're cool.
Like, did you I don't know if this was in the part that you watched, but like when Julia was talking to like the youngest son, and like he had gotten back from camp, did you watch like that part?
Yeah, and he became more religious.
Yeah, that was very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And my favorite character by far is what's his name? I think his name's Robert, like Julia's assistant. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I think he's so funny. I think he's like super real and like such a cool guy. Like, I don't know. I like him a lot.
Yeah. It seems like really good. I mean, obviously I didn't get as far as you did, but I also am late to the game. So I watched, you started watching it on Thursday or Friday? Thursday, maybe.
Friday.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this other show instead. But then Dad and I watched it last night.
Wait, Thursday.
I think it was Thursday, because I then watched that show Made. Which is, so I'm kind of into both of those. So I spent my weekend watching Made, and also My Unorthodox Life. Those are my two shows of the week that I'm kind of really getting into. And then I'm going to go back a week to talk about, because remember, I never talked about this, but at our conference, we had this great speaker named Merrick Rosenberg. And he basically, like him and somebody else that he works with basically have these kind of, they spoke about personality traits and characteristics, and they kind of divided it out by 4 different kinds of birds. And you would have heard me talking about this for the last week and a half, talking about the different kinds of birds.
I was home for 5 days, and it was basically the only thing that was talked about on those 5 dates.
So the 4 birds are the eagle, the parrot, the owl, and the dove. And we can get more into it, but basically eagles are strong and very competitive and want to win. Parrots are loud and colorful and want to be the center of attention and like the, you know, the life of the party and very, you know, outgoing. The owls are very, like, they're very organized. They pay attention to detail. They're a lot of just the organization, those people that like to color code their spreadsheets and to get everything like organized and, you know, finished and done and whatever. In that way, they're kind of like the eagles because they want to like finish it and move on and go, you know, boom, 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 crossing things off the list and have a really organized list. And then the doves are very sensitive and very emotional. And so basically it's like the different personalities and hopefully to try to have that communication style that you could be somebody that could reach all forms of these kind of birds. So just because you're an owl or just because you're a dove or a parrot doesn't mean that you're going to need to, in order to reach all the other styles, you have to communicate in a way that everyone can hear you in all the different forms. And so it might be you're stating your message, but you're saying it a little bit differently to tailor each of those categories. Anyway, we really like them. And my colleague Beth is trying to get them to be some kind of a training at a staff training. So hopefully that will work because we really like the speaker. So that's a little bit of what I'm into. And I have the books here. I just haven't dove in yet into the topics. So anyway,
I don't know why you just knocked the microphone over to show me the book that I've already seen for our listeners who can't see the book.
That's true. Anyway, so aside from those shows, that is something else I'm into for the week. So guys, thank you so much once again for being such a great audience. We love you all. And thank you so much for listening to the LMLD podcast. If you enjoyed us, please follow us on all socials, rate, review, and subscribe, and stay tuned to next week where there'll be more fun banter and conversation coming your way. We love you. Take care of yourself and others. Oh, and Lauren, how do we want to end it?
You made it up.
Once again, I think it's something like, once again, guys, we've proven yet again that we are the best duo of mother and daughters. So
straight up facts. Love you all. Have a great week. And we'll see you next week. Bye.